Hi there, folks. Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. My name's Tony, and I'm coming to you from New Zealand. With me today, I have Andre from Spiritual Logic. Andre's a pretty regular guest. I think it's been a little bit longer between the times we've done an interview together than usual, though, Andre. So it's really good to be back discussing things again. And as always, there's plenty of things that we can talk about.
Definitely, definitely. It's always an honor to be with you, Tony, and thank you for having me. And, you know, we've been doing this for, you know, years. I think you much longer than me. And, you know, I just honored to meet people around the world. You've been a blessing to my platform, you know, Spiritual Logic for Truth on YouTube. And a lot of people, I've met a lot of people from, you know, many places to kind of expose what's happening. So this is great.
Yes, well, same. It's been really good to have your input regularly on the show as well. I very much appreciate it. And, you know, like, you're very much more balanced than a lot of people, I think. You know, you see things pretty much, what I think is a pretty balanced perspective, where a lot of people are kind of off on one tangent or the other. And so I enjoy our conversations because they are, to me, pretty well, just balanced is probably the best word I can use to describe it. So, yes, I just, the last video I did was a video Holly, my wife, and I did from our cabin, cold winter cabin video, which was a lot of fun, a lot of work to do the video. And I guess it's winter here in New Zealand, and it's not winter where you are. It's summer in the Northern Hemisphere, and it's been one heck of a hot summer in many places, from my understanding. So I don't know what it's like where you are at the moment, but it's got to be a concern with the amount of heat in many ways that places are getting, because not only is it hot, but it's dry in a lot of places, and water is running out. You know, lakes are running low, especially in the west side of America, and you've got problems in Europe with wildfires and all kinds of stuff. And to me, I guess it's just another one of those signs that Jesus told us to look for, you know?
Yeah, sign of the times. You know, the WEF, the World Economic Forum, said that they were going to create, said water is going to be a crisis. Mm-hmm. And we all know about the, you know, these wildfires. We had recently one in Canada. The reoccurring fires in Canada have been blanketing the U.S. with smoke. I mean, this has been unprecedented, the level of smoke that we've, and I say smoke in quotations, because who knows what else is mixed in.
Yeah.
And these fires are unnatural, and the heat is oppressive. I mean, we had some extreme heat, and then we would have extreme rain and then extreme drought. And this is a worldwide thing. And like you said, it's wintertime, and the extremes are becoming more extreme. And this is all really to create this kind of displacement and hardship among people, because these fires are displacing a lot of people. The food insecurity is another thing of the Agenda 2030 that they're pushing with the food, you know, the crops and our, you know, food distribution is being hurt. And now the food supply is just so terrible right now. People's hard to find real food consistently, seasonally. So that's another issue.
Yeah, well, in that cabin video I was talking about, I gave people some food for thought. You know, what are you prepared for if food shortages come and power shortages and different things like that? Because I can really see this ramping up in the next few months. And those wildfires are crazy. I think, you know, so much of the West Coast is burning in America.
Man, yeah. They got Spokane. I recently did a video on YouTube talking about it, and they removed it. But I guess it's the way I was talking about it. They just, it was copyright strike, and it was very, you know, unsettling, because many people on YouTube were talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
But of course, when we talk about things, we're talking about it against the accepted narrative, and I think that's what the problem is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. See, the other thing that's happening a lot is earthquakes and things too, and I've kind of got this feeling, earthquakes and volcanoes, and I've got a bit of an uneasy feeling about that at the moment too, the likelihood maybe of a big one coming here, or And of course, you're right, it's overdue in many places in America too for a big earthquake. And what all of these things are things that Jesus mentioned would be signs in the end times too. So we've got to expect it. And the food, yeah, like you mentioned, the food kind of situation, I think it's going to become more and more critical. And they'll use that as an opportunity to try and give us their fake food, because so much of the food has already got umpteen chemicals in it and different things like that. And then, but you've got these people like Bill Gates that want to give us artificial food, and which is not what you want. It's not healthy, but for them, you know, it's their goal.
Yeah, he's one of the largest farm owners in the U.S., unfortunately, along with some of his other oligarch friends, and they're buying up all the farmland. They're destroying family-owned local farming, where corporations are now running the farms, using their GMOs, their injections, steroids, hormones, all these unnatural ways to raise livestock and grow food. And it's really creating health issues that, you know, the big pharma people are going to relabel to prescribe more pharmaceuticals, more injections, more things that are going to cause more problems and continue to snowball this effect, you know?
Well, see, even in New Zealand here, we've had this clean, green image here, you know, and everything's been healthy, really healthy up until now, largely with our food. But so more and more large corporations, particularly American corporations, are buying out or have bought out New Zealand food producers, and the quality of the food's changed. You know, it's not, it's still packaged looking like it's this clean green stuff, but then you start delving into it and they've added more and more junk and chemicals into what was once pristine food here. And it's, again, it's that multinational corporation thing taking over and destroying what, you know, the small businesses that built things up, and then they became large businesses, and then they sell out to large American corporations or overseas corporations, and everything changes. And so you have to start really looking carefully at what's in food on the labels now on everything. It's not as bad in New Zealand yet as it is in America with the food and the amount of chemicals, but it's getting in that direction. So every which way you look, they've kind of got you over a barrel a bit. So we have to, I think, use wisdom and search things out and realize how we need to be careful about what we're eating and that kind of thing. And don't just take it at face value.
Yeah, you know, getting back to the old ways, and the issue is really the lack of faith, because people seem in this modern era to seem to have this trust in the world. And this kind of segues into the second part of what I wanted to talk about, this Freemasonic political system, right, that has kind of revealed the spiritual blindness of the large majority of the world. I mean, we saw the COVID 2020 situation, where we now realize just how big this spiritual deception is and how many people go along with it to preserve this worldly identity, to boast in something worldly, you know, the Freemasonic credential system, or I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, these labels and these occupations that really require loyalty to the system and loyalty to the institutions that, you know, give out information. And see, people don't, they're rejecting the knowledge of God. And the Bible says when they do not retain the God in their knowledge, he turns them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And what we see is that people are now looking for truth in this evil world instead of acknowledging that the truth is only in God, revealed in his word by his spirit. And so, you know, when you're spiritually blind or spiritually dead, you're trusting in man. You're trusting in the systems of man. And we, as believers, we live in the world, but we're not of the world, you know. And there's a line that people have blurred, and I'm not talking about actual believers, because there's a counterfeit religion, there's a counterfeit so-called false Christian out there. But we who are true believers in Christ, you know, born of his spirit, we don't trust the world at all. we're not, we're out. The truth comes from God's word, and we use discernment to figure out other information in the world. We're not taking anything at face value. We're not trusting big pharma. You know, we realize that the way God designed us to live is the way he designed us to live. Real food, real wholesome biblical families, all the things that the world is disrupting with technology and this modern industrial life that is removing the natural fail safes that God implemented to really keep us insulated from this stuff. You know, like people are not family oriented no more. And so now everyone is becoming this hyper individualist, this corporate, you know, slave that is now, you know, whatever your job dictates, you know, is determined how you're living. People, you know, they rolled up their sleeves to keep a job. You know, that's the level of, I don't know, loyalty people have in this world. And, you know, if you have a family, you realize that we were designed actually to, you know, live family oriented. Like we can have family owned businesses. You can raise your own food. You can buy land. You know, you can seek to produce something where you can barter and sell in a para economy, kind of outside of this false capitalistic system. It's really controlled by monopolies where, you know, these two big to fail banks and corporations can survive the orchestrated economic collapse. You know, they really wiped out a lot of small businesses, a lot of small entrepreneurship, where people wanted to be their own boss and have and preserve sovereignty and their, you know, spiritual ideologies. Like for us, our faith, you know, is incorporated in all that we do. And, you know, we express our faith in what we do for a job and how we treat people and, you know, all these things, how we conduct business and all that. But now, you know, people are becoming slaves of these institutions and corporations. So whatever they say, they're taking that as like their new identity. And it's really sad, you know?
But it's very hard to escape from, and that's the thing. And even with land, you know, if you own land, you still have to pay what you call land taxes over there. We call them rates here. And if you get too far behind on them, they can take your land off you, you know. So really, do you really own it? It's kind of...
Taxation is basically proving that it's subscriptions before subscriptions. You know, now we have a subscription-based society where everything you're leasing on a monthly level, right? Mm. Well, the tax was to ensure that you have to be obedient to whatever government edicts say. If they say, you know, you require a tax, it's a way for you to check in to see if you're up to date, to see if you're qualified to keep what you're doing, or and you paying a tax basically, and they can raise this tax at a whim and kind of, you know, like remove a whole class of people who just can't afford to own land, who can't afford to own a home, who can't afford to have these assets that are really crucial to survival. You know, and that's why they say you own nothing and you'll be happy. Well, the only people who are happy are the people who are spiritually dead and think that this conformity to this new, you know, system of digital ID, AI governance, surveillance and all that, they, you know, the false peace and safety, that's a spiritual issue that many people have where they're believing the lies, they're falling into the strong delusion. And then they got these politicians, you know, giving them the orchestrated engineer problems and waiting for their reactions to offer these false solutions that don't really solve the problem of evil. They don't make life more efficient. All they do is take away rights, freedoms, and sovereignties and give people this false sense of, you know, well, it's going to get better one day, and it's getting worse day by day, you know?
Well, the surveillance is becoming more and more, and I've covered it so many times about the data mm-hmm. centers and how they're building them all over the place and justifying it and making it out that there's something wrong with you if you don't like them or want them stopped, but I can't see that they're going to stop. They're only going to increase, and it's all part of the surveillance. Everything is becoming under surveillance, and everything is being monitored. And that's mm-hmm. only growing more and more. And you combine that with the amount of robots now that they're making and putting into things, and robots are starting to make themselves and make themselves more efficiently, more quickly, so they can make more of them at a time. And people like Elon Musk are, you know, wanting that to be the future, more and more of that. And it's like, we're being steamrolled into this whole new world order, you know, fourth industrial revolution, whatever you want to call it. And
I tell,
it's not going to slow down. That's the thing.
Yeah. And I tell people that this whole system of voting and stuff, I'm like, nobody voted for data centers.
No.
Nobody voted for a lot of the things that are being forced on us through these orchestrated, simulated crises. You know, I tell people policy is being shaped more by their orchestrated crises and chaos that they're creating than anything else. Like this whole legislative, executive, and judicial simulation is a Freemasonic structure to offer the illusion that they're trying to bring justice and that there's order and that, you know, people can actually influence these things. You know, I say politics is a Freemasonic simulation that offers the illusion that you can influence what's happening around you through your participation, right? And your participation really is revealing your idolatry because you're trusting the lip service and the false promises of these satanic people who are selected as a figurehead to basically aim your idolatry the way they want you to focus. You know, like they give you a man who says what a certain demographic of people want to hear, and the people start trusting you. I'm like, why are you trusting a politician? I mean, we have enough evidence that, you know, the whole political system, and there is no left-right paradigm. That's a lie. There's nothing in between. But, you know, we already know that they're lying about everything. They're not, even when something happens, how and why it happens is a lie. So we're not saying that something didn't happen in every situation, although in some situations, maybe not. But how and why it happened is always a lie that it will never be told from the mainstream Operation Mockingbird media complex, which is CIA generated. You know, the CIA put the disinformation program out there to create all these stories and control the narrative. And so the media, which is CIA operated corporate board, and then you got the fake satanic politicians. They're just, you know, saying whatever and lying all day, contradicting themselves. You know, and meanwhile, offering a distraction while they are bringing in the B system, the AI, the digital ID, the flock cameras are going up, the 5-6 generation technology. You brought up Elon Musk and his Optimus robots. I think Tesla, his crappy cars, was just a smokescreen for the AI robotics that he's really doing behind the scenes.
Well, yes, and all his other projects, SpaceX and all of that as well, and Neuralink and building the bones of the beast system, really, the technology for it.
Yes.
Just as his grandfather would have loved, Joshua Haldeman, the technocrat. And so it is advancing very quickly. And you're mentioning the Freemasonic thing, you know, and other Babylonian mystery schools that may not be necessarily Freemasons as such, but they're still in that same ancient mystery school vein. But if you look at, I think it says it all, the motto for the 33rd degree Scottish Rite Freemason, you know, it's a picture of a double-headed phoenix, one looking in each direction, and the motto is Ordo Ab Chao, or order out of chaos. I mean, it's like, it really says it all if you realize that, wait a minute, you create the chaos to bring the order, if you look at it that way, and then you control both sides, the left side and the right side. It's really a perfect picture of what's going on just in that one logo.
Yeah, it's the Great Reset. You know, you said the phoenix rising from the ashes.
Mm.
They're intentionally sabotaging and destroying the already corrupt system to offer even an even worse system. I tell people, they create this you know, corrupt system and sell you this illusion that, oh, we're going to bring in this utopian better system, but it's really the beast. Like they're trying to, the Great Reset, the economic downturn that they're orchestrating by hyperinflation, by, you know, wars and rumors of wars to display, to justify the supply chain disruptions in the trade and the commerce of why, you know, the oil and the petrol dollar and all this stuff that just they're using as a smokescreen to justify the destruction of currencies and money and why your money's not stretching as far as it used to, why you have to pay so much for petrol, gas, and all this stuff, and your electric bills, and then the data centers. I mean, you know, destroying the water supplies. We're paying, you know, BlackRock flips, you know, gives us the bill for the data centers. You know, we're not using more electricity, but we have to pay. They're turning over the bill to consumers. We're paying that bill. You know, they're built up all the private equity in these utility companies and energy companies. We're paying the bill and paying the price. And they're saying, well, we need this because, look, nobody said that we needed ChatGPT, Gemini, or all these AI systems. Nobody voted for that. That was pushed on us. And what they did is they made it cool. They indoctrinated the youth to adopt this stuff. And now people don't want to read books. They don't want to think. They don't want to be creative anymore. They just want AI to do everything. And I'm not saying this, you know, it's the illusion of convenience, right? They say, well, yeah, we're going to sell it. It's fun. Like the internet itself was sold to us as fun, but it's a metadata collection program. You know, it came from DARPA, the Department of Defense. It was called ARPANET. It was a way to collect metadata and all this stuff on people, but they sold it to us as entertainment, convenience, efficiency. That's what they do. The cell phone, a GPS, two-way telemetry device, but they sold it to us. Oh, you can communicate. What did we do before the cell phone and the internet? We actually were more family oriented. We met, we gathered, we ate together. You know, we spent more time around each other. Technology is just widening the distance and made our communication more superficial. Now people are too busy to visit and see their loved ones. And life is becoming so superficial where people are dying. And it's like, well, I didn't really have time because I'm doing so many things that we didn't need to do because we lived before the internet. We lived before the cell phone. We, you know, the food quality when I was growing up, I know when you were growing up, it was so much better. I mean, we ate foods. We had more vitality. The sun was different. It wasn't so many chemicals in the air. The air was fresher. I mean, we're just watching the world pass away. And like the Bible says, the earth is wearing out like a garment because God is judging it. And it's really a call to repentance and faith, to not trust the world, to not love the world, and turn your attention to Christ. That's why God is allowing us to witness his judgment against the wicked world so that we can turn our attention to him and not the world. And we are exposing what's happening in the world because it's obviously a lie. God has made it self-evident. He's proving that these people don't care about you, that they'll lie to you. He's allowing us to witness the lies. And yet people are still going along with it.
And they'll basically demonize anyone that speaks out against the current system or what they're putting in place, particularly things like the data centers. I mean, if you don't like them, you're a left-wing extremist or something, you know, which is not true at all. But you're right. We existed perfectly well without all these things, without cell phones and the internet, and we didn't miss it because we didn't know any better. And we read books instead of having to read on a computer screen everything or whatever. And that's another thing. See, these AI companies are buying up a lot of books and then they scan them and then they are actually physically destroying the books. So that's a pretty good way to rewrite history, isn't it? If you get rid of the books, then you don't have the hard copies of things. They can change what's there on the cyber world and say this is history rather than but where if it's written, you know, a book's written a certain time ago, it's there in a hard copy, but if those books are destroyed, you don't have that hard copy anymore. So I think all of this, they sell it to you as comfort and convenience and ease, you know, and it's cost effective or whatever, but really it's just moving us like herded sheep into this, you know, pen of with walls all around it that they're going to call whatever they call it, but it's the beast system ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, we saw what happened with the Charlie Kirk, Erica Kirk situation, where we the immersion of false Christianity in name only, where the label of Christian has been rebranded under this political, nationalistic, be pro-American, be pro-government thing, right? And that's the problem now, because people are trusting government the way they need to trust God, you know, and that's an issue. And that's why people think it was right for somebody to use the name of Christ and pervert the gospel to promote a political agenda. And people don't realize that is idolatry. You know, you don't use Christ's name to promote and celebrate the world. That's against what we do. He said the world would hate him. He said, do not love the world. Come out of the world. Do not lay up treasures on earth. That doesn't mean we can't live. That means that we don't love those things. We use them practically, but we only use them as far as we live according to God's will. And when it doesn't fit God's will, then we don't use it in that manner. You don't have to love and trust the things you use. Trust God, and then you can use everything in its proper proper way. It's like technology. A hammer is a form of technology, but when you know God, you'll use a hammer to build and not destroy. And like right now, when you love God, we use the internet to preach the gospel, to expose the evil, and to network and create means to communicate certain things. But when you don't love God, the internet is a distraction, is indoctrination tool. It's just another tool to bring you into the system.
Yes, well, that's true. And we do have to think very carefully now about what we do. Mm-hmm. People have got the decision to make about what do they do as far as AI and those types of things go. Are they going to use it? I know a lot of Christian platforms have taken up to using AI to the exclusion of using real people even. You know, they lay off people and don't use them anymore because AI will do a job for them. And those are the kind of real things we have to weigh up and go, okay, it's comfortable and convenient, but is it really helpful in the end? And the more they build these AI and robot centers and infiltrate them into all of general life, more and more jobs for people will be taken away. You know, so it's like the left hand's giving something while the right hand takes it away, or vice versa. And so it's important to, I think, weigh these things up and make decisions even now. Like, what are you going to do in terms of incorporating these things into your life? How much do you want to incorporate in it? And I'm not here to tell people how much they should or shouldn't, but it's a slippery slope if we go too far down it. So people need to kind of draw their lines in a way.
The Bible says, whatever you do, do to the glory of God. If you can't glorify God with what you're doing and reflect his word, then that's my cue that I shouldn't be doing it. And that's the thing, like, people are rejecting, at some point you're actually rejecting the way God made you and accepting a digital copy or digital twin or image that the world can manipulate. And it's like, that's why people don't even like the way God made them. They want these digital images. It's like a rejection of God's creation. Instead of going out and taking pictures of what God made, you rather get something that AI made. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? Nothing is that's going to replace God's creation. But there's this devaluing of God's creation where, no, I don't want to go take a picture of a river. I'd rather AI make a river. I don't want to take a picture of clouds. I want AI to make clouds. I don't like the way God made me. I want AI to rewrite me. And that is a problem. And like you said, it's not only going to remove jobs, because you're actually feeding your own removal from the economy. Because eventually, if you rely on AI so much, why would your job use you when they can use AI? You know, it's like you're actually feeding your own demise in the economy. So you can't really complain about AI took my job if you did the same thing your job is doing, using AI over real people, real things. And because there's something we're losing when we remove, you know, people from our interaction, we're losing the ability to love, the ability to preserve treatments and things like that.
I mean, we've all seen,
you know, how we treat people, values.
Well, we've all seen, you know, people in a restaurant or somewhere, and they're sitting around a table and they're all on their cell phone. Instead of communicating with each other, they're communicating with someone on a cell phone or something like that. So, you know, they're disconnected from the people around them and in the cyber world. And it's becoming, you know, such a prevalent thing, or people walking down the street looking at their cell phone, or, you know, all the time. And I mean, I think I can be guilty of it. I don't use my cell phone for anything much apart from texts and phone calls, but, you know, we can all kind of get swept away by having to do that all the time. And again, it's like we have to be really careful how far we go with all this stuff. And just going, digressing a bit back to the politicians thing, you know, it's like trusting in politicians. And it's a very difficult thing because these politicians do have sway over the direction that each of our countries takes. And and they're not going to go away. I mean, you might vote or think you're voting for someone, but ultimately we only get what the handlers want in the end. And it doesn't matter if it's left or right, it takes us in the same basic direction. But yeah, when people are, I'm a this or I'm a that, I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat, if you're in America, and identifying with a political party, it's like, wait a minute, we're not supposed to identify with something like that that's worldly. And yet, you know, that the reality is they do have control over the country. And but, you know, I think back, and I'm not specifically singling out Donald Trump necessarily as worse than anyone else. Donald Trump's Donald Trump, chosen for this moment by the elite, I think, and God ultimately allows it. But all these Christians that were, you know, you've got to vote for Donald Trump, he's God's chosen man and all of that type of thing. And the ones that came out and said, Donald Trump's a Christian, he's just a baby Christian, but he'll grow and all that. And what a load of nonsense. Donald Trump is very good at just playing the game to get, take you in the direction that he wants.
Yeah, we talked before we went live about his Kabbalah teacher.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's into these dark arts and Kabbalah and Talmud type stuff. Mm. And it's already documented that, you know, he said, and he says that he doesn't need forgiveness, which is a rejection of the gospel. In his own words, he's letting us know that he doesn't believe the Bible. So you can't really say the Bible determines a Christian is someone who believes in Jesus and that, and you know, and what he has done, his death and resurrection. But the world preaches a different Jesus, and people think that, well, you can just say the name Jesus, and that means you're automatically talking about who Jesus reveals himself to be in the Bible. But the Bible talks about false Christ and a different Jesus, a different gospel, and a different spirit that counterfeit deceivers that will rise in these times, will promote. And that's what we see, a different Christ, a different Jesus being promoted, a worldly idol that people are calling Jesus. And Jesus was against the world. He wanted us to be concerned about our spiritual condition, that he can regenerate our hearts if we come to him honestly and humbly before him, acknowledging our sin and seeing him as Lord and Savior, as the captain of our souls, who can redeem us through his work. You know, we have to come to him, acknowledge our problem, our complicit nature in the problem of evil. I tell people one thing. The world is completely evil, but we have to acknowledge that without Christ, we're complicit. We're part of the problem. It's our vain desires, our greed, our selfishness, our desires that have fed the system. That's why Jesus, when you acknowledge who he is and put your faith in him, he removes you from that. He sets you free from being a slave to sin. He opens your eyes. He allows you to perceive and discern what's really going on. And you start to see how the world is deceiving you, manipulating you, exploiting your carnal desires, your vanity, your greed. A lot of people just believe stuff because all they want is money. All they want is attention. All they want is fame. All they want is to feel good about themselves. And that is the string that allows these people, these Satanists, to just pull people along. And Christ cuts you off from that. He cuts you off from your flesh. Your flesh is crucified. And now you're reborn again in his spirit, a new creature, who loves God, who responds and loves his word, and we just have discernment. We can receive wisdom from God.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. So I just going back to Donald Trump and his Kabbalah thing a little bit, there was an article that I came across the other day in World Israel News, and it's titled "Trump's Ex-Wife Reveals He Carries Zohar, Book of Pinchas, for Spiritual Protection." And Marples, who's his ex-wife, first ex-wife, in an exclusive interview with on Channel 12, Maria Marples, was Trump's second wife, not first wife, revealed details of how Trump carries these mystical Jewish texts with him at all times. He carries the book of the Pinchas and the book of the Zohar in Aramaic, and he puts it over his heart inside for protection and healing, she told the interviewer. Wow. But she's the same. See, she's into that whole Kabbalah thing and blending Christianity with this mysticism. And she said, and she's her and Trump are still good friends, Donald Trump, even though, you know, they're exes or whatever, apparently. And people can read more of it in that article. But she's basically saying that he's still doing that. And that's the reality. If people think you can blend Jewish mysticism or any other sort of mysticism or, you know, Masonic things with Christianity, you can't. They're pretty much mutually exclusive, I believe.
Yeah.
And yet that's sort of out there in black and white what Donald Trump is doing. And so it's like if you're a Christian, you need to wake up and realize that that's the truth about it. And if I move to New Zealand's political situation, see, we've got elections coming up soon and there's all kinds of turmoil around them at the moment. And people could think, oh, we'll vote for Winston Peters in New Zealand First because they have a lot of good policies. But then, see, he's come out recently and mocked the Green Party, who I don't like the Green Party, but you know, they were saying, well, let's stop on these data centers. But then Winston Peters has mocked them and going, nah, we've got to make New Zealand great again by having all these data centers and that. So if you were looking at voting for him, it's like, oh, wait a minute. He might have all these other good things he says, but then he wants to more data centers. It's like, can you vote for someone like that? It's like they've got you over a barrel every which way.
Yes.
And so you can vote for whoever you like, but they're going to bring in some part of the agenda through whoever it is that goes into power. So, that's the reality. And if it's in America as well, you know, you've got the Republicans and they'll bring in one aspect of things. And if the Democrats get in or win midterm elections and slow up this and that, you can guarantee it, either way it's going to be used to bring in some new facet of this worldly system, which is ultimately the beast system.
Yeah, they use symptoms of spiritual problems, like they claim to be against abortion, against like things, but they're not against them. That's just what they say. Like Trump is actually, he reinstated the funding to Planned Parenthood, and the whole Republican thing, oh, we're against abortion, but they reinstated the funding.
Mm.
And people don't realize that that's what they do. They're just pretending to care to offer solutions for evil, but they're part of the evil. You know, they're smoke and mirrors. It's deception. They're not really trying against evil. They're just using evil to offer false promises to get you basically to offer your consent, because the political system, it just wants your consent. Because when people just start going along and trusting these people, then you're just actually going along with it. You're thinking that it's right. For example, a lot of people during the COVID situation, they just trusted the government and trusted these fake experts, and that didn't work out for you. Because there were symptoms going around, but people didn't look at why we're being poisoned in disguise. Why is our water poisoned? Why is our food poisoned? Why we have all this radiation around us? Maybe the symptoms could be, you know, being caused by these things, you know, parasites, fungus, all this other stuff. No. You have to believe their narrative, you know, believe their narrative. And then what their narrative only involved one solution, put it trusting something in your bloodstream over, you know, questioning how to detox your body, how to eat better foods, how to improve your lifestyle, how to improve your faith in God. Because a lot of times when you don't have faith in God, you're going to have faith in the world. You can't serve two masters. So If you trust the world, you're not trusting God. If you trust God, you don't trust the world. So inevitably, it's all a spiritual issue in the very beginning. It's a spiritual problem. Because what leads you to trust the world and its systems and its institutions? Why do you think the world cares about you? Why do you expect the world to care about you?
You know? Got this three-ring circus with Dr. Fauci pleading, 111 times your Fifth Amendment, and it's just a circus, really. It's like the Epstein files. You know, it was all big news for a little while, boom, 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 everything to do with that, right. But nobody gets punished, really. It all disappears, and so all the perpetrators around the world just continue on. You know, it was like a storm in a teacup, and it's the same sort of thing. Nothing is going to really change the agenda that they're trying to push forward, because they're still moving forward with all this mRNA stuff anyway.
It's already out there. It's moving forward, and they're rebranding it under regular injections now. It's not just, they're not going to call it always that. They're going to say, oh, we have a new flu shot now. And you have to do your own research to realize, oh, this is still mRNA. Yeah. You know, this is still that. And people are just believing too much of the world and not believing in Jesus. And that's the problem.
Yes. You know? So it does become a difficult exercise just trying to figure out what you can eat safely and all of that type of thing. And your health, how much do you trust the medical system? Because we're still dependent on it in many ways. You know, something goes wrong, you know, you have a car accident or something, you end up going to the medical system, you really don't have any choice. So,
Yeah, I tell people there are practical things. Like if a broken bone, see, here's the thing, practical things like a broken bone, a laceration, or you want to know what's going on in your body. There's a practical way. But if you don't have faith to discern what you should go get treatment for and what is something else, you know, there's always something else, you know, because keep in mind that before there was hospitals the way we have now, a lot of these skills were in the home. People used to raise, you know, give birth in home. They used to know how to mend bones. A lot of these skills were in house. But now that society is so dependent on other people doing stuff that we don't learn and pass down this stuff generationally anymore. And again, there's nothing wrong with going to a hospital for something practical. But when you're talking about mRNA and you're talking about ignoring the practicality of what you put in your body and how that affects you, and not realizing that there's no root cause, they're not going to get to the root cause. They're dealing with symptoms. It's your responsibility to look at the root cause of what's affecting your body and not put that faith in these people that you know they're indoctrinated through germ theory, Louis Pasteur, the Rockefeller created the modern medical industry. So we see Freemasonic influence all throughout this stuff. So you cannot trust it. Now you have to do your own research and know what is good to go get treatment for and what is not. That is your responsibility. It's your body. You can't go in there with the faith that you should only give to God. You should only give that faith to God about just trusting him with your whole heart. But you can't do that with anything man produces. You have to have discernment in your spirit to know what is acceptable for you and what you shouldn't do.
And that comes back to the food again, too. Like, this is the thing. And you know, when I was growing up, my parents, my grandparents, they preserved food. They, what we call, you call canning, we call it bottling, you know, to be shelves worth of stuff bottled or canned, you know. And, but nobody has time hardly these days to do that sort of thing. But by doing that, you can control what goes into the food that you eat to some extent, instead of buying a little can off a shelf that has got this chemical and that preservative and so on in it. You can bypass a lot of that by doing it yourself. But then the tricky thing becomes also that, you know, if you don't grow your own food, they're sprayed on chemicals, you know, on everything. So it does get really tricky.
They had it good because they grew their own food and then they bottled it.
Yeah. So to whatever extent we can, I think we should try and move in that direction. That's what I try and encourage people to do. And I'm by no means a real outdoorsman or a real, you know, self-sufficiency person. There's a lot I need to learn. And but you, there are always skills you can learn and try and make use of to escape from this system of being controlled by what you eat, and you know, that's chemically influenced and produced for you, and avoid the fast food outlets for the most part. You know, occasionally maybe you can go to one or whatever, but if you're dependent on fast foods, you're just putting so much junk into your body all the time. So these are the kind of things people can consider. Yeah,
there's a lot of things that we are responsible for. You know, like, you know that the chemicals and poisons in your body is going to cause an effect. So minimize what you can. Of course, pray about everything you do. Pray over your food. But show your faith in God that doing it the way he designed us to do it is better than this microwave fast way that man has made, you know, promotes. When you trust in God, you trust in the way he designed us. It's not just, oh, I trust in God, let me do it the wrong way. No, if I trust in God, I trust in the way he designed us. God designed us to eat real food. God designed us to enjoy his creation, to go out and get and breathe fresh air, get in the sun, get enough sleep, have a calm spirit because you pray, you meditate over his word. That's how God designed us to be. God didn't design us to be superficial, consume like with technology to the point where we don't want physical interaction with each other no more. He didn't design us that way.
No, you're dead right. So ultimately, we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ first and foremost.
Yes.
Everything else has to flow from that.
Yes, well said.
Yeah, pray for wisdom around it. So I think, I'm pretty much done with what I wanted to share, I think. Have you got any last thoughts that you'd like to bring across before we wrap up?
I mean, we pretty much covered everything. I mean, this spiritual it's a spiritual deception, you know, going on, but it begins with your own heart. You know, we must acknowledge our sin and to realize how the world is exploiting us by our sin. And we take our sin to Christ, that he could set us free, that he could regenerate our hearts, that he can indwell us with his spirit. And then we can receive wisdom from God, spirit, discernment of his spirit, walking by his word and his will to navigate such an evil world, because the world is under judgment. God is judging evil and sin, but he also guides us to endure and persevere and overcome the world. And he can use those who believe for his glory. We are the light of the world. Don't look for light to come from the world. It comes from those who believe in Jesus. He uses us to show his love and to serve and to tell the truth about him and about things in the world. It's not going to come from these corrupt satanic systems. It comes from those who put their faith in Christ. So that's what I have to say.
Absolutely agree. So where can people find you online, Andre?
Yeah, I have several channels on YouTube. I have Spiritual Logic for Truth. Spiritual Logic for Truth on YouTube is my main channel. I have a backup channel where I have more biblical in-depth studies. If you really want to dive into the scriptures and see, of course, still exposing the world on both of my channels, still being biblical on both of my channels, but Following Christ Forever on YouTube is my backup channel. That's where I'm more live more frequently because, man, they're throttling my main channel, but I still go live. I have a health channel, Spiritual Logic Wellness channel. All my links are on my channels. They're in my description boxes. So just if you go to any of my channels, you'll just go to the main page. You'll see all my links. I have a Telegram, Spiritual Logic. So just type Spiritual Logic in Rumble, Spiritual Logic in Telegram. You'll see my logo, or you'll see Spiritual Logic up there. So you'll know it's me. I have an email, spiritual.logicfortruth@gmail.com, if you have any questions. And, you know, again, I'm grateful to be here. Just always an honor and pleasure, because there are not many of us who are bold in the truths, preaching Christ, exposing the world, doing what God calls us to do. This is what he calls us to do. This is how we love our neighbor, by warning them of evil, by preaching the gospel that saved us, showing the good news of salvation that comes by faith in Christ. This is how you love people, and we serve people. You know, we share information that helps families, that brings awareness to what we can do, not complaining, not living in fear, but just being aware that we can walk in the Spirit, and that allows us to think according to God's will and word about how we endure, how we persevere, and how we overcome and live our lives to God's glory. So that's all I have to say.
Absolutely. Yeah, so that was great. And folks, please, if you could subscribe to both our channels and make sure you definitely like subscribe this video and share it, that would be awesome. So thanks, Andre. Thanks for being with me today. I've really enjoyed it.
Likewise, always a pleasure. Looking forward for the next one.
Cheers, man.
All right, cheers.
Folks, please make sure you are subscribed to us at aminutetomidnight.com. That's our main place we publish things. And we do run A Minute to Midnight 100% by donations. If you want to donate to help us, you can do that at our website, aminutetomidnight.com. And that's always greatly appreciated. And the music used at the start of the show is music I've written, played, and recorded. Also have some more free music of mine if you want to download it at our website, aminutetomidnight.com. So God bless, and God willing, we'll be back with another episode of the A Minute to Midnight show in a few days' time.